when you're talking about the benefits and when you're sandwiching your suggestion between the business benefits, what you're showing your boss is that you are thinking about the bigger picture. You are not pushing back because you're lazy. You are not pushing back because you don't want to do the work. You are pushing back because you want to do the best work. And this is when your assertiveness and your persuasiveness become so powerful, because it is driven by a desire, not just for you to win, but for your stakeholders to win.
Welcome to The Art of Speaking Up, a podcast that helps professional women access the limitless potential that lies within them. I'm your host, Jessica Guzik, and my mission is to help you find that spark inside you that has the power to transform your career in ways you may not have thought possible. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Jess. I am the host and creator of this show, and I am a coach for women. I am here to help you thrive in your corporate career. I'm here to help you build confidence. I'm here to help you elevate your communication skills, and I'm here to help you up-level your career and transition into leadership roles. And today, we are talking about one of the most crucial communication skills when it comes to elevating into leadership roles, and that is knowing how to get buy-in for your ideas and your suggestions. Now, people will use different phrases to describe this. Some people might describe it as being assertive. Some people might describe it as getting buy-in. Some people might describe it as influencing. Some people might describe it as knowing how to be persuasive. But what it all boils down to is your ability to be in a room of stakeholders, and often stakeholders who are above you on the org chart, people who are in a position of authority relative to where you sit in the organization. But it boils down to your ability to be in those rooms and know how to push for an idea and a suggestion in a way that gets those stakeholders to a yes, gets them to see and agree with your point of view and support the direction that you want to take your work in. This is such an important skill to develop at all levels of your career, but it becomes especially crucial as you're transitioning into leadership. I often think about and talk about the transition from individual contributor to becoming a leader. And one of the big shifts that happens as you are making that transition is your value and the way that you add value for your company and your organization changes. As an individual contributor, the way that you add value for your company is by cranking out deliverables, by doing something, building something, creating something, making something. And often you are the one who is actually creating that thing. And so we get really, really used to creating deliverables and working hard and cranking things out. But as you become a leader, your value proposition actually changes. And your company no longer wants you to be creating tons and tons and tons of deliverables. They want you to be leading other people to create those deliverables, which means your skill set pivots from a skill set where you're very good at executing to a skill set where you're very good at leading. And one of the key pillars of good leadership is knowing how to persuade and get buy-in. Because as a leader, you can no longer get it all done yourself. You probably have a team of people who need to get it done on your behalf. But not only that, it's not just about getting your team to execute, but also about the fact that your projects and the things that your team is working on become more complex and more cross-functional in scope, which means you can't just be good at getting your team to execute. You have to be good at partnering with other stakeholders in your organization, working with them, and getting buy-in from them to support the direction of what you and your team are doing. Because often there is a ton of interdependence between your work and how it impacts your stakeholders. It'll impact your peers. It'll impact executives who sit above you in the organization. So it is so essential that you have the ability to be in front of them, to go to those stakeholders and say, listen, this is how I think we should do it. And you know how to say that and how to have that conversation with them in a way that is going to get them to support you and agree with you, even if there might be some downsides to the suggestion that you're making or the thing that you're putting forth. So typically, we need to have stronger persuasion skills and we need to be better at gaining buy-in when we're suggesting something that isn't pure upside. It might have a trade-off. It might have a drawback. And this is really, really normal. This is just kind of a run-of-the-mill thing that happens inside a business, is that it's hard to find perfect ways and perfect projects and perfect plans and perfect proposals. Typically, the work gets messy and there are trade-offs and there are downsides and there are drawbacks. And when you're trying to put forth someone and get people to agree with it, get people to buy in, get people to support it, you typically might have to lean on more persuasion to help them get past the mental obstacle of like, but I don't know if I want to do it her way. Her way is going to be more work for our team, or her way comes with X, Y, and Z risk. You have to know how to get your stakeholders to a yes, even with those drawbacks and trade-offs present. And that is what good leaders are so good at doing, is they know how to push something over the finish line and get people to a yes, even if it's not 100% perfect, even if the proposal or idea isn't 100% perfect. So I'm sure you can tell that I get very excited about this skill, and I think it's just so incredibly important. This is one of the reasons I think that I was so successful in my corporate career, is because I loved thinking through, how am I going to get this room of executives to a yes? How am I going to get them to see that this is good and that we all want to do this hand in hand together as a company and as a team? Okay, so here's what we're going to learn today. There's two things that I'm going to talk through. The first thing that I'm going to talk through is the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to be persuasive, trying to assert an idea, trying to get buy-in. I'm going to walk through what that mistake is. And I think it's going to give you a sense of relief, because the end takeaway is that you don't need to be forceful and aggressive to get buy-in for your ideas. So we'll talk more about that. Then I'm going to walk you through a really powerful and also really simple and easy to apply persuasion tool called the sandwich method. The sandwich method is a communication framework that you can use to frame your suggestions and your ideas in a way that is going to make it more likely that your audience or stakeholders will say yes to it. Okay, let's start first with the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to getting buy-in and when it comes to being assertive. And I made this mistake a lot early in my career. When I started my career, I struggled a lot with verbal communication. I wasn't very effective when I was communicating in rooms with leaders. I mean, that's kind of an understatement in a way. I wasn't even speaking up at all. But then in the instances where I was forced to share an update or forced to talk about something, I had no idea how to do that. And very early on in my career, I got feedback that I needed to figure out how to have a stronger executive presence and communication style in meetings if I wanted to be on a track to leadership. And one of the pillars of that feedback was that I needed to be more assertive. I thought being assertive meant being forceful. I thought it meant like, okay, I'm just going to like shove my ideas down people's throats. That's what I thought that meant. And that's what a lot of people think when they first are thinking about becoming assertive and they haven't had enough time to experiment with it and learn about it and see some of the nuances behind it. So what I learned through getting assertiveness wrong is how to get it right. And the biggest mistake that I made, and that I see a lot of people making as they're refining their verbal communication skills, is they think that the way that you get buy-in for your ideas, the way you have a voice at the table, the way that you get people to listen and agree is through force, is through being loud, is through having an energy of aggression underneath what you're sharing. Now, sometimes we see people do this and it works. And I think that can really trip us up, because that kind of adds fuel to the fire of us thinking that the way you lead and the way you get buy-in is through force. But I want to make a distinction here that I think is really important, which is there are different ways that we can get our audience to take action. And in your case, the action that you're trying to get your audience to take is to agree with your ideas. So one way that we could do that is through force, is through aggression. But there's a whole other way that we can do that, which is not having to force them, not having to be aggressive, because we're instilling genuine desire within them. If I can make my audience genuinely want to agree with me, I don't have to force them. And getting them to genuinely agree with me requires a more sophisticated skill set than forcing them. Forcing them doesn't require you to know how to persuade, to know how to influence, to know how to get buy-in in a graceful and classy way. Forcing is just forcing. I think about it as like you're using a chainsaw to cut a vegetable. You don't have any real culinary skill. But if you want to cut the vegetable in a way that it's going to come out smooth and look pretty and visually appealing, you have to become skilled at using a knife. You can't just hack it up. And that's how I think about the difference between forcing versus persuading. Persuading requires a deeper skill set. And the mistake that I see is people forget that persuasion can be part of the process and they think they have to be forceful and aggressive in order to achieve buy-in from their stakeholders. And I share this with you because I think it will come as a relief for you to realize that there are other ways to make an impact in a room, and that being forceful and pushing and being aggressive is one way, but it is not the only way, and it is for sure not the most effective way. There's a better way, and that way is to get really good at influencing, and that's what we're talking about today. So in today's episode, I'm going to walk you through a framework that I call the sandwich method. Yes, like a sandwich that you eat. So first, I'm going to walk you through conceptually what the sandwich method is and why it works so well. And then I'm going to give you a couple examples of the sandwich method in action so that you can learn it and retain it. Okay. So the sandwich method is inspired by sandwiches. So I want to share a little bit of what it is conceptually, because this is going to help you remember it and retain it and understand it more deeply. So the premise behind a sandwich is that there are so many foods out there that become so much tastier and more appealing when you put them between two pieces of bread. So I was thinking about this episode and I was like, what's an example of a sandwich where if you don't eat it in a sandwich format, it's not appealing, but when you put it between two pieces of bread, it is super delicious. And I thought of the perfect example. That example is a tuna melt. I don't know about you, I love tuna melts. That's like probably within my top three sandwich choices of like what I might order at a restaurant. Tuna melts are delicious. The crunchy bread, the melty cheese, they're just so good. But if you have it without the bread, like if you just have a glob of tuna with cheese melted on top, I don't want to judge anyone's food preferences. But for me, that is way less exciting and just like not really that appealing. That's not something that I'd want. But you put it between two slices of crusty, toasty, yummy bread, then all of a sudden it starts to sound really delicious. So the idea behind the sandwich method is that when we can sandwich something between two pieces of bread, it could become better. By putting it into a sandwich format, the contents that were originally going to go in the middle of the sandwich, in this case, tuna with melted cheese on top, now becomes more appealing. And I didn't actually change it. I just put it between two pieces of bread. So this is the same exact principle that you use with your verbal communication. So here's how I want you to think about it. When you're trying to get buy-in from your audience, you are making some sort of ask. You are asking them to agree with something. That might be a proposal, it might be a suggestion, it might be a decision, but you have a core ask that you are trying to get them to agree with. That core ask is equivalent to the contents inside the sandwich. So in the tuna melt example, the thing that you want your audience to eat, to say yes to get excited about, is tuna with melted cheese on top. But just like in this sandwich example, it's going to be way better if you put some bread on top and on the bottom. So similarly, when you're asking your audience to buy into something, you don't just want to offer them the suggestion on its own. You want to sandwich it between two pieces of proverbial bread. Now let's talk about what the quote unquote bread is in this communication framework and the role that it plays. So the bread in the sandwich framework equals the benefits to the business. And this is all going to come together as I continue to explain it to you. So just like with the tuna melt, I make it taste better by sandwiching it between two pieces of bread. When I'm sharing my suggestion with my stakeholders, I make it more appealing to them by sandwiching it between two pieces of bread, except those two pieces of bread are me talking about the benefits to the business. And this is really convenient because benefits to the business starts with a B. Bread starts with a B. So the way you can remember this is if I need to persuade my audience, if I need to get a yes, I need to sandwich my suggestion between two pieces of bread. And those two pieces of bread are the benefits to the business. So instead of you jumping right into your suggestion, which is what people think assertiveness should look like, and it should not look that way, but instead of you jumping right into your suggestion and saying to your audience, I need your approval for this proposal. I need you all to greenlight this budget. I need everyone to let me know that they're comfortable with this direction. Instead of jumping straight into the ask, you are first going to talk about the benefits to the business. This is before you get to the ask. You're going to talk about the benefits to the business. Then you're going to make the ask. Then you're going to talk about the benefits to the business again. In other words, you're going to take your ask and in your verbal communication, you're going to sandwich it in between the benefits to the business. Now, to help you learn this and internalize this, we're going to do an example and we're going to do a really simple example and probably one that comes up a lot. So let's say your boss says to you, I want you to get me a proposal for this client and I want you to have the proposal ready by Friday. Now, I want you to imagine that you don't think that that Friday deadline is the best timeline. And I want you to imagine that the thing that you want to get a yes on your boss from, the thing that you want to persuade your boss about, the thing that you want to be assertive about, is that you want to take two or three or however many, you want extra days on the timeline. Maybe instead of having it by Friday, you want to have it by the following Wednesday. So a lot of people in this situation, they think that being strong and being confident and being assertive means saying, no, I'm not going to have this for you till Wednesday. I do not recommend that you do this. This is going to backfire a really large percentage of the time because there's a power dynamic between you and your boss. And when we're in a power dynamic and we don't agree with the person who's at the top of the power dynamic, because of the nature of the power dynamic, we can't just reject their suggestion. Our main option is to persuade them. Okay, so your mission is you want to persuade your boss that Wednesday is a better deadline than Friday. So that Wednesday deadline is the contents of your sandwich. It is the tuna with melted cheese on top. And instead of handing your boss a glob of tuna, you want to hand your boss a tuna melt. So you have to figure out what is the bread. And the way that you figure that out is you ask yourself, what are the benefits to the business? So you have to ask yourself, if I move the deadline to Wednesday, what are the benefits that the business will receive from that decision? And that's where you have to be creative and engage your critical thinking and come up with your beliefs on that. But some examples of what that could be is maybe those extra days will help you get a better proposal to the client. Maybe you can customize it more. Maybe there's more time for more sophisticated inputs, and that's going to increase the likelihood that the client is going to be satisfied. Great. So let's just say in this case that the Wednesday deadline brings you the key benefit of more time to customize the proposal, which will lead to a happier client. So instead of just saying to your boss, hey, I think this deadline should be Wednesday, you're going to sandwich that between the benefits and you're going to say something like, I want this to be as effective as possible for the client. And so I'm thinking the best path is to customize this proposal. If we move the deadline to Wednesday, that is going to give us enough time for the customization. And I think the client will respond better if we have that as part of the proposal. So notice what I did there. Instead of just saying, nope, I want this to be Wednesday, I led with the first piece of bread, which is that customization is going to lead to a better outcome for the client. Then I shared the proposal, which is that we move the deadline to Wednesday. And then I circled back again with the benefits and talking about why that would be good for the client. My boss or your boss or whoever the boss is in this situation is going to respond much better to that verbiage than if you just say, I think we should move this deadline to Wednesday. And in fact, when you use the sandwich method, not only does it help you get the outcome that you think is best, it actually makes you look good. Because when you're talking about the benefits and when you're sandwiching your suggestion between the business benefits, what you're showing your boss is that you are thinking about the bigger picture. You are not pushing back because you're lazy. You are not pushing back because you don't want to do the work. You are pushing back because you want to do the best work. And this is when your assertiveness and your persuasiveness become so powerful because it is driven by a desire, not just for you to win, but for your stakeholders to win. And that is when you become so powerful in a room and when you can really influence things and move things forward powerfully without having to force people, without having to coerce people, without having to be someone you're not. And so it all comes down to this practice of zooming out and asking yourself, what is the bigger goal, the bigger vision, the bigger business benefit behind my suggestion? And how can I make sure that when I communicate my suggestion, I'm sandwiching it in between those things? Now, the example that I gave you was an example of using the sandwich method in the micro. In other words, in just one sentence to your boss, you use the entire sandwich method, right? It was one sentence that you responded with, and you started with the benefits, and then you talked about your suggestion, and then you ended with the benefits. The cool thing about the sandwich method is you can also apply it in the macro. The sandwich method is a great structure to use for a deck, a meeting, or an entire presentation. If you have a more meaty proposal that you're making, for example, let's say you're proposing a project and you need approval both for the project and the budget that goes along with it. If you have to present that proposal to a group of stakeholders, rather than just jumping into your proposal, you can structure your deck, you can structure your meeting, you can structure your conversation using the sandwich method. And you can open your deck with a page or two on the business benefits. Then you can walk through your proposal, and then you can again close with the business benefits. So the sandwich method is available to you in all contexts. And the way that you know that you want to be using it is when you have something that you're trying to get a yes to. And what I love so much about the sandwich method is it's about speaking to the greater good for everyone. It's about creating win-wins, not just for you, but for your stakeholders and for the company. And that's the type of inspirational leadership that I personally find really rewarding and authentic. And I found in my corporate career, people responded really, really well to that. When I would frame my suggestions and my proposals in that way, it felt good to me because I was genuinely excited about my ideas and my direction, and it felt good to my audience. So next time you have something and you want to get a yes to it, make sure you slow down and ask yourself, how can I apply the sandwich method? Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. This was a really fun one for me to record. And if you want to learn this skill more deeply and you want to get really good at doing this, at being persuasive, at knowing how to get buy-in, knowing how to communicate your ideas in a super executive friendly way, this is something that you will learn and practice more deeply in my group program, The Art of Speaking Up Academy. This is my signature group program where I work with you on two big goals. The first goal is helping you build confidence so that you have the courage to be a stronger, more consistent voice in meetings. And I also teach you the foundations of compelling verbal communication so that you know how to share your work and share your ideas in a way that's going to be really effective for leaders and for an executive audience, because ultimately your ability to do that is going to have an enormous impact on the trajectory of your career. To be the first to find out when the next cohort of the Art of Speaking Up Academy is enrolling, I recommend adding yourself to the waitlist, because many of the recent cohorts have sold out in advance just to the waitlist, and you can do so by clicking the link in the show notes or by heading over to jessguzzickcoaching.com/academy. Thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.